100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, is this thing on? 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. This is Lauren Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Yeah, I challenge myself to write a 100 word story every day until the day I die.com, even got the domain for it. Well, it's Sunday, and that means it's your turn to write the stories. We'll call this the weekly challenge because it is. It's once a week, and I challenge you with a different topic every week. The topic this week was yes, so let's go ahead and get right to it. The first story up to bat, up to the plate, up, man, Pujols last night, wow. Okay, I know you're not into baseball because you're listening to this. Let's go ahead and listen to Thomas from Zimbabwe. Man, did I say that? I bet you he came up with that. Here's Thomas.
Don was a yes man. He worked as general manager for a large factory and distributor of pharmaceuticals. Anything the CEO or CFO asked of Don was carried out immediately and without question. Don knew that many of the items shipped overseas or sold to large, big block retailers was of questionable quality and composed of outdated compounds. Anything in the warehouse past the expiration date was automatically sent to India, Africa, and South America. Don had no idea that a large shipment of tainted baby formula found its way into the stores and onto the shelves of his own kitchen. Steve voted yes on everything. The cause or the proposition mattered not. He voted yes when a petition was circulated to build a new sewer plant down the street. He voted yes when they wanted to convert his building into a VD clinic, shelter for street people, and a halfway house. He voted yes to raise property taxes and approve the school bond, and a big yes on the new city law that prohibited anyone to be out after sunset. Neighbors voted yes at a secret meeting to drag Steve into the woods and feed him to the bears. "Yes, yes, yes," she exclaimed. His intense and diligent study of the literature, medical charts, illustrations and current publications paid off. His colleagues' advice was helpful as well. Everything he heard from the crowd of Lotharios at the tavern was spot on. He was relieved as he had been trying for months to do it right and to please the women he was serving. He learned to take it slow, not to rush through anything, to ask politely for feedback, and not be selfish when he was engaged in an act as intimate as bleaching the undercarriage of stylish women.
Thank you, Thomas. So there's a little bit of a change this week. I'm running off of the MacBook Pro instead of the Asus. I wanted to see how well Audacity worked and how fast things worked on a Mac as opposed to a Windows system. And I've had to prep all the show notes in advance. Since I'm running off of Gmail and not downloading the Thunderbird, no more drag and drop. What I did was I downloaded all the stories into a folder, and then I'm drag and dropping from there. So, ooh, man. All right, so we'll see how well this works out. If it all comes out scrambled, I'll run to Best Buy and pick up a cheap Windows box. I'm not that good on Mac. I've worked with the original Macintosh Classics way long ago, even before they were called Classics, the 128. I mean, that's ancient. A lot of those are out there as fishbowls or boat anchors now. One thing that's not a boat anchor or a fishbowl is Richard, who who stands on the shoulders of giants.
Hi, everybody. Today must be Sunday because once again I find myself listening to you and to me. Very strange. By the way, happy belated birthday, Tom. Can't say I enjoyed this week's prompt, but let's give it a go anyway. This one is called Ouch. I was lucky to be alive. Even more fortunate to have crawled out from the wreckage with barely a scratch on me. Even so, the doctor was unconvinced. "Does it hurt here?" he asked, prodding my stomach. "Yes." "And here?" poking each of my arms in turn. "Yes, yes." "And what about here?" "Yes, that hurts." He looked down at me, folded his arms and pursed his lips, and I could tell that he was completely baffled. "Could I make a suggestion?" I offered. Bemused, he nodded. "You could try poking me with the blunt end of that damn scalpel instead." Okay, this is story number two. It's called Yes Men. Even monarchs can become too powerful. Frustrated at the spineless oafs that most of his courtiers seem to have become, he summoned his advisers to a full meeting of the Royal Council. "How am I to run this kingdom when surrounded by a crowd of obsequious yes-men?" he thundered. "Get out and find me a council who do not fear to question me." Some time later, the new council was convened. Hard-nosed civil servants to a man, they challenged every policy the king proposed. Frustrated at their complete lack of support, he had them all executed for insubordination. And this one is called For Better, For Worse. "Do you love me?" she asked. "Yes," he breathed in her ear. She clasped his hand tightly. "Then let's get married. Soon." Still breathless and intoxicated from the frenzied passion of lovemaking, he succumbed. "Yes, let's." The happy day arrived. The sun shone. Everyone smiled and cried in equal measure. And the bride looked radiant. And so she should, considering the small fortune that dress had cost, he thought. They turned to face the priest. "Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?" He looked into her eyes, realizing that all along he'd meant to say no. Okay, one final story. This one is the ongoing saga of George, and it's called Decision. George had often wondered how he might cope if ever faced with a life-changing choice, such as the one he now faced. Now the time had come, the realization dawned that he was hopelessly inadequate, and nothing like the action hero he'd dreamed he'd be. His instinct told him to leave the hospital, but saying yes to his inner prompting would mean facing unknown horrors. Common sense told him to stay put was folly. There was no guarantee of safety here, but he wasn't yet ready to meet his destiny. Time to leave? Yes. But not just yet. Maybe tomorrow.
Thank you, Richard. And I especially want to thank you for wishing Tom a happy birthday. Those who put in the comments and followed my imperial command to put in a comment of happy birthday for last week, thank you. For those who didn't, well, you lazy sons of bitches, when your birthday comes around, we'll see if we wish one for you. Okay, maybe you were out of the country, or maybe you were in the country and out of yours or out of your mind. This man is the heart and soul of 100 Word Stories. The man, he searches for the American myth no more. Instead, he's dedicated full time to tracking monkeys. You, the monkeys. And you couldn't take just 10 seconds to wish him a happy birthday. How cruel are you? All right, now that I've driven everyone away, it's time for Jeffrey Fisher. He'll bring you all back, I hope.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Jeffrey Fisher again with my entries for weekly challenge number 364 on the topic of yes. First story is called Executive Level. Bob the investment banker was a yes man. He knew it and learned to live with himself. His bosses all knew it and liked to keep Bob close to confirm the wisdom of their decisions. "Nothing risky about these real estate derivatives, right, Bob?" one boss asked in 2007. "Yes, sir. Good investment." "If the government backs this Solyndra company, why, that's good enough for us," said another boss in 2011. "Absolutely, sir. And may I say that that tie looks very smart on you." Even after the shareholder lawsuit, the SEC investigation, and the short prison stay, Bob was his loyal self. "Gee, sir, an orange jumpsuit really flatters you." My second story is called Peer Pressure. "No." "Please, Jessica? Pretty please?" I hated the pleading sound in my voice. When you're 16, sounding manly is important, especially when you're talking to your first serious girlfriend, and I was failing badly. "No." "It's really important to me." "I'm sure it is." And the answer is still no. "It'll be my first time, and your first time. I've read up on it, so I know exactly what to do." "No." "I promise, I won't tell anyone. No one has to find out." "I don't believe you. Anyway, I'll know. Why should I feel bad about myself just to please you? So, no." "That's your final answer? You won't play Dungeons and Dragons with me?" "Yes."
Thank you, Jeffrey. We're just cruising along here. I think I should have been running off of a Mac all these years. What a fool I was. But I'm still doing it in Audacity. I need to change to GarageBand at some point, because I've heard that GarageBand is super cool, and it does all this audio stuff. It's like Photoshop for podcasts or something. Does anyone have a tutorial on GarageBand and how it can be used for podcasts? Or I should just freaking Google it. I don't know. How did you learn? You just rub it against your forehead and, "Oh, now I know." Always works for magic for you people. Speaking of people who can work magic, how about a little magic from Lizzie Goodcough?
"The Art of Conversation sat on the shelf for years. When Sean grabbed it, the bookstore owner smiled. 'Are you interested in a nice conversation?' 'No, I'm just browsing.' 'That book is fascinating,' continued the owner. 'I'll sell it to you cheap.' 'No, not interested. I prefer, say, Shakespeare.' 'But this book will teach you a lot.' Sean laughed, handing the book back to the owner. 'I don't think so.' And he left. The owner turned around and placed the old book right next to Shakespeare's complete works, which was marked free to anyone who says yes once during a conversation. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye."
Oh, that's so sweet. Yes! Okay, do I get a free book now? Oh, no. Yeah, I've been really, really tempted to take all the stories and start putting them into books again. I have the Kindle format ready. I have it all ready. I'm like, no. No, it's up on the site. It's all searchable. It's all fungible. It's all tangible. It's all right up there electronically. Why does it need to be in a book? Why does it need to be in a pastry? Why does it need to be in skywriting? It's all there. Why do we need to hurt trees? Why do we need to desecrate their corpses? Or pixel trees and desecrate their pixels? I don't know. What's the compulsion? Can't we all move forward and just, oh, it's data? No, apparently not. All right, well, It's just like, oh, you can dunk. Oh, you can do skyhook. Oh, you can do all these neat, new, innovative things. Yes, but you can you throw a ball up into a peach basket? That's the measure of success in basketball. Doing the really old thing. Books. All right. Another rant. Let's go with Muncie this time. Oh, right. Let's the Army of Darkness, right? Are you people armying right now? Are you? I don't know. Muncie's going to check on you.
Greetings, my army of the damned. Cease your shambling for the briefest of moments to listen to a story. Yes, yes, I know. Your unholy hunger for the flesh of the still living is insatiable. But this isn't flesh-eating time. It's story time. So hush up and allow me to regale you with my tale. Optimism by Christopher Monroe. It's my negativity that's dragging me down, and I'll have no more of it. Starting tomorrow, I'll approach each day with buoyant optimism. Where once I was negative, I'll be positive. Where once I was defeatist, I'll charge forward to face my challenges head on. Yes, yes will be my battle cry, yes! And I believe in my heart that with this new outlook, there's nothing I can't do. I'll prove as much the moment my alarm goes off tomorrow. Will I hit snooze? Yes. Will I go back to sleep? Yes! And by God, I won't let anyone stop me. For more of my writing, pick up a copy of Broken Escalator or consult my flash blog at christophermonroe.blogspot.com. Or, if you're very bored, tweet me at Munzee Munzee, and I'll inevitably respond with either a non sequitur or a pop culture reference. Now rise, rise, my army of the damned. Get out there and burn this world to the ground.
Okay, so when we're burning it to the ground, we burn it from the sky down to the ground, or do we burn it from the pits of hell up to the ground and then we stop? Because that'll mess up a lot of rumpus rooms and basements. But, you know, the house, maybe it'll screw up the foundations of houses and buildings and they'll collapse and... Oh, did you hear that? Oh, I have a little announcement thing that announces the hour every half hour. So, right. I call it Robot. Whenever it goes off, I say, thank you, Robot. And people at work think I'm weird. As if, you know, Army of the Damned. Army of the Damned, not Army of Darkness. What do I think this is? Okay, so next up, it's Tura. Oh, this is going to be a good one. Okay, you got your popcorn ready? Well, good. Keep it away from me. I'm not supposed to eat that stuff. In fact, I mix bacon tarani syrup with the butter, and oh my god, it's so good. But it's bad for me. All right. This is good for you, though. A little bit of Tura and butter and bacon.
This is rather over the 100 words, unless I count them in base 12. How Gunnar said yes to Helgi. Helgi went a Viking, then overwintered in Denmark. When he returned, he put his finest saddle on his finest horse and went to visit Gunnar. You have a fine bull, friend Gunnar. Will you lend it to mate my cows? Yes, said Gunnar, if you will give me what you ride on. I will give you this saddle from the king of Denmark. Will you then lend me the bull? Yes, said Gunnar, if you will give me something more. It is a hard bargain, said Helgi, but I will give you this horse also. Will you then lend me the bull? Yes, said Gunnar, if you will give me something more. Helgi said, do I ride on aught but my saddle and horse? Yes, said Gunnar, but you may take the bull, for I have had what you ride already these winter nights past.
Okay, unless I count them in base 12. All right, folks, you're just getting a little weird with the thing. There are people who say, hey, does it have to be 100 words? It's not as if I count, but look at the title of the podcast. Look at it. You know, do you want to be said, hey, can I send in just me screaming in the bathroom? Does this look like Screaming in the Bathroom podcast? No, that's Adam Carolla. Come on, get a grip. Do I look like Mark Marone? Well, I'm kind of scuzzy and fat and, well, sort of hairy, but no, it's 100 words. Anyway, thank you, Tora, for helping point that out. Base 12. Oh, we got Tom. Okay, I'm going to get Tom's story going here. You folks, you wished him a happy birthday. Remember that. But you forgot to send him cake. You suck. Oh, here's Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called Yes. It was July 1976. We were packed along the edge of a large barricaded rectangle, waiting for the doors to open. Everything was pretty mellow. This wasn't Altamont or that ill-fated Who concert. This was an army of Yes fans. Most, including myself, already tripping on some flavor of LSD. I doubled down with Osley and some window pane. From the crowd, a Carl Rossi bottle sailed into the center of the barricade. Within seconds, hundreds of bottles arched and exploded in the parking lot. With the help of the acid, this was the most beautiful fireworks display I'd ever seen. Surprisingly, after the glass stopped shattering, the Cal Palace security just sent some guys out to sweep up the mountain of glass. Oh, San Francisco. The inside of the Cow Palace was like some primordial cave, dark, musky, and old. The opening band for Yes was Gentle Giant, who ran riot with a stage full of drums pounding out dozens of polyrhythms, who surrendered to three synchronized beats. They did this with ever-increasing speed, till the three beats fired as one. The lights vanished, replaced with a single green laser beam sweeping in lazy arcs over the arena. At some point during the headlining performance, one by one, each member of Yes stopped playing until only Steve Howe was playing a harp. As he plucked single strings, the laser bank, now 20-fold, rolled through the crowd with a hypnotic effect. Howe kept playing slower and softer. A final note echoed off the walls, ceiling, and fell into silence. Imagine, if you will, silence of thousands of people holding their breath and hearing a sigh rise to a roar. It could have been the acid, but I'd like to think I was gazing into the heart of heaven.
I'll tell you what's gazing into the heart of heaven: hearing your stories. Thank you, Tom. Am I using the right microphone? I've got this set to Logitech, that set to Logitech. The system is set to the Logitech headset. I always have to change it back and forth. It appears not to be auto-sensing. You would think with the tiger or the mountain lion or the puma or the baby panther, you would think that whatever system would be smart enough by now. Mac invented all this stuff, and then Bill Gates stole it, right? And then Steve Ballmer yelled at people about it. I don't know. It seems to be working. I'm backing up the file every few stories. I'm saving the project. I'm no idiot. I've lost projects before. It sucks. All right, Tom, and then on to Serendipity. All right, well, at least the new platform hasn't stopped my rambling.
For a time, I simply lay here, unmoving and silent. Hearing, experiencing, feeling, but locked completely within my own useless body. Now, I can blink. Can you hear us? They ask, and I blink in reply. Are you in any pain? I stare, eyes wide open. She's fine, they nod. Your parents are here. Would you like to see them? I blink. They cluster around my bed, clutching my hands in theirs. My father leans close and whispers, "The doctors say you don't want to live." And, as his tears fall upon my cheek, my heart breaks. And I blink.
One blank for thank you, two blanks for serendipity. All right. Got a few more to go here. We didn't get, like, over 20 authors this week, like sometimes we do. But we did get over 20 stories. So, hey, when all the averages are averaged out, we're still hanging in there. Do I sound nervous that we're just going to collapse into irrelevance as Norm Sherman has already taken over. But Norm MacDonald, I mean, he just started up. We're all doomed. All these celebrities like, hey, I'm irrelevant now, but I can do a podcast and get 50 million listeners and I don't have time for stories anymore. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Yeah, great. No, I'm going to keep things positive. I'm going to be a yes man here. Let's say yes to Cliff, Uncle Monster.
Hello, Uncle Monster here with a couple stories with the topic of yes for today, April 14th, 2013. Four of us were in Cozumel looking for a cab. We'd been warned to get a driver who spoke English. Charlie said he'd take care of it. We approached a taxi stand where three drivers were waiting. "Do you speak English?" Charlie said in a clear voice. All three men said yes. "Are you good drivers?" Again, all three men said yes. "Did it snow here yesterday?" The first man smiled and said yes. The second did the same. The third man grinned and said, "Man, I never seen it snow in my life." Charlie chuckled and said, "You're our man." And here's the second story on the topic of yes. My boss brought me brownies at work. No, I didn't get promoted. My coworkers brought me cookies. No, I'm not retiring. My niece drew me a purple monkey wearing a silly hat. No, she's not a professional artist. I got a free drink at the bar. No, that good-looking woman at the table by the jukebox wasn't trying to pick me up. Or was she? No, definitely not. My family all gathered to sing, give me cards, and watch me try to blow out the trick candles. Why, yes, as a matter of fact, it is my birthday today. All right, that's all I've got. Thank you very much.
Okay, folks, I guess you need to be wishing Cliff a happy birthday now. Those of you who wish Tom a happy birthday, I expect you to be consistent and be fair and equal with your birthday wishes that you gave to Tom. Give them to Cliff. Don't go overboard, otherwise Cliff will know that you love him more than Tom. And Tom will know that you love him less than Cliff. And that would be unfortunate, because you should love all equally. There are some people that you shouldn't love equally. I mean, they kind of bother you, or maybe they cut you off in traffic, or they take up all the dryers in the laundry room. Jerks. My wife did the laundry yesterday. She even did mine, and I was like, no, I like doing laundry. I like doing laundry during the podcast. Gives me something, well, to do. Instead of just drag and drop, and it gets me to go outside. I don't like going outside all that much anymore. Okay, now that I've depressed you thoroughly, how about stories from Sing? And a little early this week. Hold on. Did I hit the... No, I didn't hit the stop button. Okay, hold on. There. No!
The Art of Neglect by Chris Mooney C. Being the architect of now was hard. Upholding the view so every leaf, twig, and petal stayed in place. No raindrop escaped from the cloud. The grass stopped in its tracks and didn't need mowing, especially in the shed where he should have laid a concrete slab. Don't look inside, he thought, fearing a Triffid-like hothouse. It might escape and take over. The idea of hacking and battling with the day-to-day was unbearable. Better to struggle with neglect than clear one's conscience. So he sat, whipper-snipping the heads off his thoughts, and perfected the zen of laziness.
The zen of laziness? You are hardly lazy. I am. I mean, if I weren't so lazy, would I just drag and drop your other story like this?
She waits for him now, in the hotel room, with sleeping angels. A poem by Chris Mooney Singh. Pain starts its career path early on. She traced its pattern, thread by thread. Sewn now to her sides like angel wings, her girls clung close upon the bedspread. They slept safe on the quilt of heaven with a gold shine, but beneath, cold dread of losing their mother to stepfather. The silk of love is painfully red. In time, she might cross-weave him in. Embroidery starts inside one's head with delicacy, tact, firm fingers, care. To lead, the stepdad must learn to be led through the eye of her needle, then whisper to each child like a thoroughbred.
And there you go. Thank you, Sing. Just we're tooling along here. We got some wrappers and okay, this tie wrap is for the headphones, and that tie wrap is for that. I've got my power cord tie wrapped. I love how the power adapter, you can just take off the cord and pop in the little pluggy and then go into a meeting and just, oh, there's a power strip. Pop. Right there on the desk. Very cool. And then I leave my cord up on the desk and it plugs into a UPS under the desk. So it's really convenient. It is so road warrior. And I use this thing so much, I'm sure it's going to burn out within a few weeks. Any bets on that?
Apple Gregor, give my toy back.
I feel like an idiot. Zachman? Sure. Okay, here are Zachman's stories.
Are those radios working, Private? Muncie, yes, Muncie. Actually, that's Petty Officer. When I was inducted into Muncie's Army of the Damned, your administrator said, "You're majorly damned." Then I said, "No, I was a Navy Petty Officer. Majorly damned was my division head." They said, "Oh, hell, mixed ranks worked for the G.I. Joe team. You will remain a Petty Officer." Messages received from March Hare Division and the April Fools, still waiting on the April showers. Division Drabble? You told me not to repeat messages sent by Division Drabble unless they began with, "Lawrence Simon says." Do you really need that cookie? Select yes. Now, you didn't think about your blood sugar level. Are you sure you want that cookie? Select yes. You have to be kidding me. Well, if that cookie is worth sleeping alone for you, and think of the example you're setting for the children. Are you sure? Select no. I am so proud of you. I knew you would make the right choice. Eventually. Would you like a glass of wine? Select yes. Are you an alcoholic? Select no. But denial is the first sign. I hate when my wife writes me flowcharts.
Thank you, Zachman. But for the love of God, stop telling stories about me. Really. I'm not a good subject. There are so many other good subjects, like Superman, or Batman, or Woodrow Wilson. All three of them the finest crime fighters of our era. And yet, you have to keep coming back to me. Oh well, the next one I'll just delete. No, seriously, I will. All right, next up is Tammy. Let's go ahead and put this ugliness behind us and have some joy. She retreated to the bar. Odd, this stool felt more comfortable than any seat at home these days. The cowboy, three stools down, edged closer. She relaxed after her second glass. She laughed, touched his arm. He thought he had her. She said no. In the parking lot, she rested her forehead on the steering wheel. What if? He smelled nice. His smile was contagious. She hadn't laughed like this in months. For a moment, she glimpsed a different evening before her. Suddenly sober, she went home to pack her bags. She was done retreating. She enlisted in the morning. Ah, yes, enlisting in Muncie's army of... Wait, is it darkness or the damned? How do you enlist in the darkness of the... Sorry, I got that all screwed up. No, I'm not going to restart. I'm going to blame the Mac. Thank you, Tammy. Is it going to rain? I don't know. If I start navigating around, I bet you this thing will have a memory error, and then everything will be lost. So instead, what I'm going to do is just get Danny's story here. I'm going to plow through the podcast and then find out what I can do. I've got a phone that acts as a computer. I've got Words with Friends going. If you're bored and you feel like playing Words with Friends, play me if you haven't played me by now. You're a coward and a chicken and you're a gutless, lily-livered wimp. Except for Danny. He has an excuse. He's allergic to alphabet soup. Here's his story.
Hello, Danny Dwyer here once again with Weekly Challenge 364. Yes. Do you ever question the sanity of your mother for the name she gave you? Thomas asked his friend. Yes. Why, yes, I question her sanity every day. Yes responded. My mother was a big fan of the band, Yes, and she thought if she named me after the band, I would become a great musician. You became a farmer instead, Thomas replied. Mom was proud when I announced I was going to become a Starship Trooper. Then she realized Obama slashed the NASA budget. Yes responded. Hold on, Thomas. I need to feed my donkey, Meatloaf Flying Spaceship, some carrots.
Why is it that Meatloaf Flying Spaceship always gets me to laugh? Thank you, Danny. All right, so I've got a ticket to the baseball game, not this Wednesday, but is it next Wednesday? The 24th. It's going to be behind home plate. No, it's not in the Diamond Club. I'm not one of those rich idiots. I'm going to spend something on a crappy form of entertainment instead of the ballet. I'm going to support baseball instead of the symphony. Jerkweeds. I'm going to that game. Usually I get Crawford's or third or first baseline, although every now and then I like to go into the cheap seats, especially when the little leaguers are around and they're running around and there's green and yellow, all the pretty colors, and okay, maybe I don't like it. So I'm gonna enjoy, but when I'm downtown, Hubcap Grill is my favorite burger, but the problem is they get so crowded. So what I may end up doing is going to Treebeard's. They always have good meatloaf, which means Meatloaf Flying Spaceship. And, okay, you're not impressed. Maybe you'll be impressed with Miata's story here. Yeah, I'm going to. She didn't record it, so yeah, I'm stuck doing it. A metal werewolf in Second Life's Neverland. I had passed him twice before looking up to see him on the roof of my house. Waving, I said, "Hey there!" What else would you say when meeting a wolf? He jumped off, rolled through the air, landed at my feet. Werewolves are very misunderstood creatures. Sure, they have sharp claws and teeth, but their fur is so soft and silky. How would I know? Well, he asked me to dance, and I said yes. We proceeded to do the robot in a field of flowers. Fine footwork for two novices. Well, what the hell was that? Got all tootsie there for a moment. At least I wasn't Hutu or Hulu or... Who were the warring factions in Rwanda? Why do they weigh so heavily in my mind? Oh, well. Maybe I should go into space, where all my thoughts will be weightless. Thank you, Miata. And watch out for werewolves of London. Okay. What? Red Goddess? Okay. Relish didn't record this one either. And neither did Bon. And Bonchance and Sefi are off busy doing something. I bet you they're mowing the lawn. They probably have a jug. Maybe they're on the edge of one of those national parks, and they're like, "Well, you can have all the picnics you want in here, but you'll have to mow the grass. Oh, and don't run over the woodchucks. They're kind of disgusting when you pop their heads up and pow." Red Goddess. Gotta hit the off button. Lola buried herself in work for weeks. She leaves home early and comes back with just enough time to sleep. No time for a night out or anyone with little patience to track her down. The perfect excuse to decline any dates from her beau. His proposal to take their relationship to the next level echoes in her mind. She can't even turn off his voice in sleep. It's so simple. Just say yes or no. That's the problem with relationships. Someone is always explaining. Or apologizing. Dealing with demanding hotel guests has some common threads. Saying yes would mean making the similar compromises in her personal life. But then she can get used to breakfast in bed with a fun partner who can resist such a tempting adventure. Thank you, Red Goddess. And Lola, one day you'll win. You'll win it all, and you'll look back in all this and laugh. Probably laugh at Zach Mann telling stories of me. I didn't do any of that. Lola, in fact, I am challenged. Maybe one week, Lola will be the weekly challenge. And we'll all tell Lola stories. We'll all make them up. It'll be like you're at a bar, you're drunk, and you're telling a Lola story. You want to do that? But we're going to have to get Red Goddess's permission first. So, because it's her character. Maybe it's her. Maybe that's her life, and she's sharing it through this. I hope Lola wins one day. One person that I want to see lose is Norval Joe. He is cruel and capricious, and he's mean to Dorgul Doofnat, or whatever the heck that dog is. Yeah, I know. He talks about wiener dogs. Well, I bet you he cooks them, and he eats them. They're perfect for roasting on a spit, you know. Oh, Norval Joe, we're on to you. We're on to you. Hey, tell us a story.
Hola, mis amigos y hormigas. Me llamo Felipe Gargajo Mocoso, y este es el competición de cuentas 100 palabras. And I am an army of Juan. Here are my stories for weekly challenge number 365 with prompt of yes. The two off-worlders walked side by side down a gravel road. Afternoon storm clouds billowed dark gray above the rainforest. Boral wiped his forehead and asked, "You walked all the way from Arlander?" "Looks that way," Ferdy replied. "And we're going to walk all the way back?" Boral asked. "What do you think?" Flirty asked. Boral shrugged and followed the ichthyologist in silence. Around a bend, a skimmer was parked in the foliage. Flirty opened a door and said, "Climb in. I rented this to get us back." Boral raised both hands in the air and shouted, "Yes!" Dergal fed and watered the dogs in the backyard. Long John followed into the house to watch his master make lunch. Barking, the wiener dog ran to the door even before the bell rang. A policeman stood on the porch, clipboard in one hand. "Hello?" Dergal croaked. "I'm Officer Farkflace. Are you Dergal Dunderspawn?"
"Yes."
"My records show you have 12 licensed dachshunds."
"Yes."
"That's a lot of dogs. Do they have puppies often?"
"Yes."
"How do you deal with that many puppies?"
"Should I get a lawyer?" Dergal asked. The officer nodded his head and said, "Yes."
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Is this 364 or 365? Wait, no, he has 354. I don't know anymore. Screw it. We are now reestablishing this in the year of the army of the damned. This is weekly challenge one. How many episodes are there out there? How many stories? Have we become the greatest repository of 100-word stories out there on the internet yet? Or is it Norm Sherman's forums? Or is it some other location? Or is there some crazy little factory in Iran or China that just, and they just rig up millions of these things? I don't know. What matters is that we enjoy doing them and enjoy sharing them and enjoy listening to them. That's all that matters. Well, okay, maybe. Every now and then someone's saying happy birthday to Tom. I didn't ask much, did I? That isn't asking too much. Officer Farkflace. Dergal. Well, you know what's next. Planet Z. I know, you're trying to leave the room already. Look, okay, so there was a dinner at the Galleria on Friday. And before it, I always get there early. So I had to ship something off. And then I had to walk. And it's like, oh, I got a few minutes. So I went to Dylan's Candy Store, which the Dylan's on the corner was closed for renovations. Now it looks like it's going to be closed permanently because the Galleria is jacking up rents, despite the fact that the economy really isn't taking off. And So around the corner is their little walk-in store, and I picked up some stuff from there, and they now take Discover Card. So they're closing soon. So just when they finally take Discover Card and I can get cash back for wrecking my health with sugar, they're going to be closing soon. Sons of bitches. Is there another candy store there? I hope so. Really need my fix when I'm going home. Oh, right. I can just switch to heroin. Here's Planet Z. Back in college, I had a roommate who was into Yes and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. He had all the album covers tacked up, and he played their music constantly. All I had known about the two bands was the fact that Yes did Owner of a Lonely Heart, and Neil Young did some really lousy rockabilly crap. When that year was over, I could ramble for hours about the different lineups of each band, their solo careers, and what was so great about each. But really, I was talking out of my ass. I don't know shit about music. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the topic of Yes. You all said yes to the challenge. Yes, I can. Yes, I can do it. And there you go. And I hope you said yes to saying happy birthday. Just those who didn't, you just let me down. You broke my heart, but more importantly, you broke Tom's heart. Let's end this on a positive note and say that you can go to the website at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com for the show notes, the text of the stories. You can leave comments, like say happy birthday to Tom. I'm not going to let that go. I'm not going to let that go. But you can do all kinds of other stuff there. Go there. If you're not subscribed, how the hell are you listening to this? Oh, right. Next week, topic is number. So pick a number, any number. What number am I thinking of? And then do a story on it. There you go. And no, you may not do a story about me, Zach, man. I'm tired of him. That's it. Thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.